Blog Talk Radio.
Look out, evildoers! There's a new crime fighter in town! Here comes the Blue Roofie!
Hunt, hunt her, criminal scum! Prepare to be brought to justice! But first,
can I buy you a drink?
Okay, we're on the air. And Neil's actually here this time, which is very rare. How you doing, Neil?
It pains me to hear that intro every single time.
How come?
What's my voice?
Wait, hold on. Hello?
Victor?
Okay, that's our Hispanic correspondent, Miguel Garza. Yo, mind you, own his disco being called Miguel.
What's that?
I said, if I was you, I would insist on being called Miguel.
Dude, the thing is, I don't look like a Miguel, and it's like the white kids at school didn't like me because my name is Miguel, and the Hispanic kids at school didn't like me because I didn't look like Miguel, so kind of like my curse.
Like, what crap are you... Or you could just call yourself the conquistador.
You know, it's like, the only time I ever hear the name Miguel is if it's my grandma or my aunt talking to me, or if my wife's really pissed.
Okay, so this week was the end of New Dallas, hopefully.
Yeah,
and it turned
not come
out.
Back.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what the hell they're going to do, and I don't feel like trying to watch Jordana Brewster struggle through being a heel. Mind you, she was able to do it as a faculty, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that whole last 10 minutes of the show was just, like, tacked on and stupid.
Yeah, and mind you, though, it makes sense that JR did do that. It's weird that Cliff didn't mention it. It's like, he did it to your father, he did it to Digger. Didn't he do it to you, Cliff? No, I'm too smart for anybody to ever pull a trick like that on me twice.
Yeah, the way they should have ended it is just kind of like when the colonel went to prison in Boogie Nights, where he's just kind of crying and bleeding out of his mouth. It should have just been Cliff in a Mexican prison bleeding and crying.
Yeah, which, mind you, I didn't watch the episode until later that night. I sent you a message telling you what was going to happen before I'd actually seen it.
Yeah, dude, you called your shot. That was perfect.
You know, because I just thought, you know, there's no way JR actually got directly killed by anybody, but... There's some New Dallas bullshit in here, like the ideal. Number one, the ideal that Cliff can't buy his way out of this.
Yeah, it's like, the whole way they lured him to Mexico was so flimsy. I mean, come on, this was Cliff Barnes. He would have spelled that a mile away.
Yeah, because JR was having to go to such ludicrous lengths to get trick Cliff by the end. Like, he was having to bribe a geologist just to fake report. You know, it was like he was really having to go to the lengths, but, you know, okay, he gets there, and I like the fact that the Mexican federales are treated so noble. You have committed the murder in Mexico. And
Go ahead.
Number two, Cliff did go to prison in Mexico, he'd be living like a king.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. It's like the only people that don't really get gobbled up but in the Mexican prison system are rich Americans.
Yeah, it's like you're either rich or you're really damn, or you're really fucking tough. Like Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he did 2 years in a Mexican penitentiary.
Yeah, it's like, I'm trying to think, you remember Rudy Boy Gonzalez?
Yeah.
I think he wrestled in WCW as a jobber. He ran Shawn Michaels Academy when one of my friends went there, and some of the stories he had, and he's, you know, he's Mexican, and, like, some of the stories he had about being in a Mexican prison was they made him tacos one night, and he ate the tacos, and like an hour later he was sick. And he asked them, you know, what the hell's going on with those tacos? And they go, you ate rat. So they gave him rat tacos.
Of course, I don't. You know, I always wonder if somebody. You know, I'd be probably more disturbed if I ate it and I didn't notice anything, because I'd be like, you know, like if somebody fed me horse or something, I'd be like, damn, horse is pretty fucking good. You know where I can get some more?
Yeah, it's like in, what was that, Demolition Man, where they go underground and goes and eats a burger, and then they ask him, well, you don't see any cows down here, do you?
Yeah, just one of those things. Yeah, it's pretty good. Well, I remember back when I was arrested one time, you know, and I'll tell you this. I've been arrested like 3 times, and every time I did the booger mugshot from Revenge of the Nerds 2.
Smile.
And I mean, I'm telling you, I was like, one time I was bleeding, I'd been burned, and I was in a bad state of mind, but I thought to myself, Victor, how many times are you going to be here? Do the fucking booger picture.
That's awesome.
And the next day, they brought the food in, you know, and I'm in there with somebody else, and I'm eating this food, like, man, this is pretty good, what is it? It's emu or something. Like, shit, this is good, wow, they give you a brownie too?
Hey, better than the cheer than I do at home.
Yeah, these guys are the
Victor
is Kurt
Van Helton.
Pretty much. You're going to be going to a small little room. I mean, not as small and crappy as this room, but it's going to be pretty bad. Okay. You know, another thing they did in the Dallas finale was they kept teasing Pam was going to be there. And I like how Christopher keeps running into this old woman, and he's like, he just refuses it. This old dumpy woman can't be Pam. She was hot.
I saw pictures.
Yeah, it's like, you know, what, I'm not related by blood. And, okay, they had the plastic surgeon, and I don't know if you noticed this, but why did the plastic surgeon need Cliff's money?
No, seriously, I mean, it was like, dude, you're a plastic surgeon. Why on earth would you agree to this?
Yeah, it's not like this is some poor family, you know, Cliff's taking advantage, and, you know, I was telling Eric, who I forgot to invite, oops, but he usually doesn't want to do the show real late, but I was telling him about it, you know, and he said the plastic surgeon's all, well, I wanted a bigger house. I mean, my house is nice, you know.
Right. Yeah, that whole storyline, I was like, I had no idea where they were going with that, and then but the thing I knew in my mind, I was like, it doesn't matter what the resolution is, it's going to be underwhelming, because there's no way in hell Victoria Principal is going to show up.
Right, I think that was really, it's a meta type of drama where that's the actual drama of it. You're wondering, did they actually get Victoria Principal?
Yeah, and it was like, and I love how the woman, like, didn't say, the nurse or whatever she was, did not say a word.
Yeah, then they had this thing, another bit they had in the episode was the whole thing about Catherine and Cliff being best buddies.
Yeah, that was, like, kind of out there, too.
Well, if you'll remember, in the old show, you know, Catherine didn't start hating Pam until she was super crazy. But she hated Cliff from the fucking beginning.
Yeah, from the word go.
You know, with Pam, it was more she's kind of crazy, you know, and obviously, I mean, there was, I don't know, Catherine's actually a proto-New Dallas. You know, her motivations are never clear, and she's basically whatever the story wanted her to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she was kind of like the utility player.
Oh, yeah, this whole bit where Bobby is scared to death of Ann thinking he cares about Pam at all. Yeah, sorry, Dad. Oh, don't worry about me, Christopher. I don't care about that bitch. Right, Ann, right?
Yeah, the only thing that would possibly make it interesting next year, if they bring it back, would be if, like, this little taste that Bobby's gotten of being an asshole just, like, suddenly created a monster.
Yeah, you can't turn it off.
Now I know why JR did this all the time.
It's awesome! I think I'm going to go beneficial for no
reason. One thing I would not miss is the official Dallas character Twitter feeds.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I remember they kept doing the JR one up until the episode when he died, and something about that just felt vaguely disrespectful.
Yeah, it was like the last thing he tweeted was son should not have to pay for his father's sins. I was like, oh, come on.
I did like what they did. The one thing I did like about that tacked on epilogue was what they did with John Ross at the end.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good. I was like, oh, okay, he really is his father's son.
And it also explained why Emma was doing that to her dad.
Yeah, because it was like nobody had approached her. It was like she didn't seem like the kind who would really care one way or another if her dad or if the Ewings won.
Though, mind you, Emma does seem like a bit of a moron. It's just the way she did that to Ryland, you know, and Ryland's probably the only person. You know, you're going to regret that a year from now when Anne tries to put you in rehab or something again.
the one scene that really stood out for me, I think it was the best scene probably this season, the best scene that didn't include JR, is the scene where Sue Ellen goes and confronts the governor.
Oh, yeah, God, I hate that. I will say this about the fake governor on Dallas, he's still better than Rick Perry.
He's also done a lot less damage than Rick Perry.
Just the whole thing with the the way Sue Ellen was just like with Ken Richards, fuck him, I don't care.
Yeah, and that's one thing. I loved The Fall Guy as a kid. That was one of my favorite shows. And the way they've treated Lee Majors on this show makes me sick. Lee Majors is no quivering pussy. He fears no woman. He fears no governor.
Wait, that's Lee Majors?
Yeah. That's
scary. I kept seeing his name in the credits, and I said, where's Lee Majors at? Oh, Lee.
Ken Richards is Lee Majors. Sad,
well, you know, for a second, I thought they were going to bring Peter Richards back when I first heard that name, and to me, that would have been such a ballsy thing to do. And Sue Ellen to deny even knowing him.
That's one thing that they really didn't do enough of until JR's funeral was bringing back, like, big characters.
Yeah, and another thing is, you know, I think with the man as accused of murder as much as Cliff was, I'm pretty sure if he did kill JR, he would not have came to the funeral drunk.
Yeah, he probably would have stayed far, far away.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Cliff knows his shit about this. He's been accused of murder enough times.
And I think Bum had more lines in that scene at JR's grave than he had probably the last two seasons combined.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, you know. So I'm guessing, when did he hire that guy? Did he hire that guy after his previous detective got killed during the dream season?
I guess. I mean, he's been his detective long enough to be considered JR's best friend.
You know, well, let's think about JR, you know. JR's the guy that builds up loyalty if you work for him. Like, if you work for him and you do what he says, you know, he'll be loyal to you back.
Bobby's reading the letter, when it says, you know, Bum was the best friend I never deserved, it made me think of Arrested Development when Job hires the private investigator and the big black dude.
Yeah.
You're not my friend, you're a client.
The whole thing with, the one that the mother kept hiring. Lee Parmesan, Martin Mull, and he kept popping up out of nowhere.
Boom!
She would be very excited. I mean, I begin to think that's the only reason she hired him.
And I like how everybody in the family knew about Gene Parmesan except Michael.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, the
private investigator, Gene Parmesan.
Yeah, it's funny. Throughout the show, you know, which considering my family life, I kind of identified with Michael, and especially more as it began to show that Michael was kind of crazy too.
Yeah, I like how they started letting that out.
And then this week, you know, Dylan came up to me, you know, my nephew Dylan, he's 9. He told me he had a date with a girl, and I had basically the same response that Michael did. I was very jealous. I was like, no, you can't. That's just a baby. He says, I'm 9 years old now, Victor. And, you know, I'm just very, I just went into hyper mode with the babying of him. More so than his mother does.
Her name's just Ann. Why do you keep calling her Annabelle? Well, it's because she's shaped like a, because she's the belle of the ball.
My favorite bit with him was when he said, yeah, you should get Ann to play on the baseball team. You know, it's like, you can't knock
she's
her
really
down, but I can knock her down.
And he's like,
I can knock her down. No, really, kid. No, trust me, son. I can knock her down. Because, you know, he needed his son to know that he could knock down that 15-year-old girl.
You know, it's good to teach that to your son at an early age.
Yeah, show him who's boss. And my Wii has not been playing disc for, like, about close to a year now. And yesterday, Dylan managed to find out the culprit. There was a Chuck E. Cheese token inside of the disc drive. And this does not look good for Connor. This does not look good for him.
God, when I was like two, I stuck an oatmeal cookie in my grandmother's 8-track player.
Well, I had this thing, you know, because, you know, I'm having to take care of my niece now, and she's one, you know, and I just kind of let her wander all over my room, which is still kind of a war zone, but she found an old Micronauts comic, and she's going, ah, and she walks over to me, takes it, tears the cover in two, smiling.
Oh, jeez.
Do you know the barometer that you made up about what terrible things kids can do based on a thing I did when I was little?
Oh, yeah, Dale, basically, I came up with a system for bad behavior for kids. And, Dale, tell the story about what you did when you were a little kid. And I consider this, like, if a kid did this to me,
okay.
I'd probably just beat the...
I think it was, like, 4, maybe 5. I know it was back when our carpeting in the den was basically that weird red, furry shag carpeting. But we had Lucky Charms. And I wanted to get the marshmallows, but, you know, as a little kid, I can't really reach in there. So I just dumped it on the floor and just started picking out the marshmallows. One of my parents kind of came in and shouted at me what the hell I was doing. And in this kind of a time period that I kind of blinked out. And basically, the next thing I remember is that I'm basically sitting in my bed crying, eating ice cream.
And this has become my new standard for what kids are doing bad, because basically I saw when she tore that Microdots comic in two, that was like two Lucky Charms boxes. And she was just smiling at me, and I was like, oh, Emily! I swear to God, Emily, if you were 2 years older. And then later I'm feeding her strawberries, and she takes her fist and just punches the... and punches her hand into the whipped cream bowl. And I can't even get on to her because she's laughing and smiling. And she thinks she's done something
good.
Yeah,
that's the hard part.
Yeah, I'm like this in real life, though. If I get pissed off at somebody and they're like, you know, they act like nothing's happened, I really can't make the fight go further.
It's like my 3-year-old. As soon as she hears me, like, yell at her, she just... doesn't matter what it is. She just turns around and goes, I'm sorry, Daddy. And I'm just like, oh, Jesus.
It's like,
yeah, Connor,
do this to me.
Well, you know, Connor does the baby Finn dance whenever he knows he's in trouble. That's his go-to now. He just starts going, I'm a tough-tootin' baby that can dance like a man. And I really can't do anything.
Tia just hid underneath the bed. Like, they'll never find me in here, even though they found me the last couple of times.
Yeah, well, when I was a kid, I remember one time I hid under a bed, and I was like 5. My dad was drunk or something, and he's wanting to spank me for something. I can't remember what. And he's like, you got to come out sometime. I was like, you want a bet? And I found I found 2 G.I. Joes I've been looking for, and I was doing a secret mission in a warehouse with them. And the next thing I remember, I fell asleep and woke up 5 hours later. Well, you know, that's cute, my dad is.
alcoholism has provided a few good things. I mean, there's been times where my dad would get so drunk he would be mad at me. He'd get so drunk then he'd pass out and wake up and forget why he was mad.
Yeah, that was the key. I would just basically, you know, if he was drunk, I could outlast him. Now, mind you, when I became a teenager, by the time I was 11, I was already 6'1". You know, and I was bigger than him, and it was one of those things that basically, you know, he would just tell me to do something. I would basically listen because I was kind of like a baby elephant, but I stopped getting spankings around then. One time he was trying to spank me out in the yard, and mind you, I was like 13 at this point. I outweighed him by about probably 200 pounds. You know, and he spun around, and I moved at one point, and he spun around comically and hit the ground, and I walked over to check on him. I said, "Hey, Daddy, you okay?" He hit me on the arm with the belt, and I was like, "Ow!" I was like, "Well, you stupid old fuck, I'm going inside." And there's like an audience of
family members. I remember one time they were having like a, this one quite, you know, it's basically a curse that we know in Huntsville, but this is years back when I had to help drive Alan home because he drank too much. He had gotten to the point he was singing Man of La Mancha drunk. Shirtless.
Well, you know, I remember when I had a stepdad for like 2 years in the early 90s, and I never saw him again, but I remember one time he had this thing where he would get really affectionate when he was drunk, and I remember Molly was in the kitchen cooking, and he comes over to me, and he starts having a really graphic, and mind you, I'm 10 years old, he starts having a really graphic sex talk, which thankfully, being 10, I didn't have an idea of what he was saying, so I didn't really register, but like,
I'm imagining that that's just like, you know, nice music playing, like theme of a summer play, while your dad's doing like, you know, very graphic body motion.
No,
like
he's
doing stuff with his fist, and you know.
No, it wasn't my dad. It was my stepdad at the time, and he's just telling me things like, and you know, oral sex. If you want to have oral sex, that's fine, but don't you worry. You tell the girl you're not comfortable with that. And I'm like, can I go back to watching my cartoon?
Yeah. No, it's going to be a shame that Dallas is ending, but trust. Thankfully, we got enough family stories to keep this podcast rolling for years.
I actually ended up, it was one of those things, you know, it wasn't until years later that I registered you. And I remember I told my mother about it. Yeah, and I told my mother about it years later, and my mother basically hulked out. Like, if there had been a car there, she would have probably threw it. Because, you know, she babied me more than she did either of my sisters in ways. Like, one time I walked to the store, and she came up looking for me. She said, "Excuse me, have you seen my little boy?" And the guy's like, "No, maybe that man that just walked out saw him."
Have no fear, we got stories for years. Maybe Dad gets a cell phone.
To go back to this now, you know, another new Dallas moment is, did you notice when they exhumed the body to remove the metal, the slugs from JR's corpse? I was thinking, isn't that something you would do before you bury him?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, wait a minute, no. If you know this man was shot to death, you take the bullets out before you bury the body.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm not understanding. And maybe that was a part of JR's plan too, so they could sue the county and get a big settlement. You know, they can always use a little bit of extra money. I mean, I really, because I'll be honest with you, last few weeks I have not been, even without cable, it used to be that I would get the episode like a few hours after it aired. But I was getting to the point that it was taking me a week to even watch the show, so I can't imagine I'll keep watching it if it comes back for a third season.
Yeah.
How about the
whole thing with setting Elena up with the drug dealers or whatever that was?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that whole thing. And Harris Ryland, you know. Mind you, Ryland's the only character on the show I wouldn't mind seeing the continuing adventures of.
Yeah, I would almost rather he get a spinoff.
Yeah, well, I saw him, you know, he was on an episode of that 70s show, and he didn't have the beard, and he looked kind of weird. I didn't recognize him until I heard his voice.
He was on an episode of Southland, too.
Yeah, he was one of Rhett's coworkers that was a swinger.
That's scary.
You know, actually, I just got done watching that 70s show on Netflix, and the conclusion I came to is this is a terrible group of friends. Like, I think they're worse than the Sonny Gang is being bad for each other.
Well, they have the plus of being young and being stupid, so they have built-in excuse. The Sonny Gang has no excuse.
Well, I mean, I think they have an excuse in the sense of a very and very bad upbringings.
Horrible parents.
Frank's been unzipped.
Yeah, like I said about, I said that one day when I came out of therapy, I had a really bad therapy session, and I came out and I told Bill, I was like, she unzipped me! it was like I was saying, we were mentioning this, and I before, but I had to ask you on Facebook, because it seems like nobody else ever brings this up, is that at this point, Charlie is clearly too good for the waitress.
Oh, yeah, dude, it's like Charlie, he has like a moral code at least that he goes by. Like, all the other characters are just complete and total just emotional derelicts.
Yeah, and it's like, the waitress, she's at this point, she's just a drunk, vindictive drug addict.
Oh, yeah, she was on E that time when they went to Jersey.
Oh, yeah, the thing I like about Dennis and Dee is that they do have a weird moral code about it. It's like when that episode with the hooker, when she's like this, fuck you, gay one, and Dee was like, hey, you can't call him that. I mean, if he wasn't gay, that'd be one thing, but he clearly is gay. You can't go around calling him that. Oh, yeah, one of the episodes I didn't mention when we did our Sunny show is, remember the episode when Dennis and Trey got shushed at a bar?
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
And they hunted the guy down, and it's like, I could identify with that, because it's like, when I get shushed, I go berserk. It sets me off, so that's what, and at the end of the episode, those guys came into the bar, and it's like, I always wonder what Charlie and Dennis did to them.
Remember that Looney Tunes cartoon where they had the dog that was pushing like the mouse and the cat to be able to get food? They kept asking for gravy each time.
Yeah.
Remember it? No, it's like, then he's super stuffed because he ate an entire deli or something, or a meat shop, butcher, and basically they come in looking smug and said, like, this time we didn't forget the gravy. They bring a giant drum, and if you watch it on TV nowadays, they cut out the ending so it just fades out while they're putting the drums, they're putting up the giant drum of gravy up to them.
Hey, yeah, guys, my phone's about to die, so I'm going to drop off.
All right, man. We'll catch you later. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. See
you. So anyway, about Looney Tunes cartoons, I found a website that has a whole bunch of them.
Okay, like what?
I gotta remember, but some of them are basically some links to like JW Player, but some of them are like YouTube, which keep getting taken down. But it's got a whole bunch of the old animated shorts from like 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Okay.
Like, I was able to find one of the Donald Duck ones that we used to have on, like, tape, that we taped off TV, where Donald Duck tries to go to a Museum of Stuff from Tomorrow, like, machines. It basically has a robot that keeps trying to take his hat.
Okay. What happens?
Well, like it's trying to be courteous, basically saying, "Your hat, sir." Takes off his little sailor's hat. He gets mad. He magically pulls out another type of cap, like, Confederate hat or something. And basically, he keeps going around to all the machines, and basically, they keep grabbing him and doing terrible things to him. And the robot just keep coming up, take his hat, and say, "Your hat, sir." And he'll do it over and over again.
Oh, another thing I want to do is we might be doing a Punch-Out show soon. I was going to mention about, because I finally beat Super Punch-Out, and Dylan actually beat Nick Bruiser tonight.
Oh.
And he did not getting knocked down once. And it's like, Dylan's like, "Hey, Uncle Victor, look at these tiny bananas." But, anyway, I'm playing the original Punch-Out, and it's really, it is deceptively difficult. Like, I don't know. I feel like I've gotten worse at the game because I got the Mr. Sandman, and I don't remember him kicking my ass like this. So anyway, Dale, do you remember when you first played Punch-Out?
First Punch-Out?
Yeah.
One of my neighbor kids had it, but I really sucked at it at the time.
I remember Von Kaiser used to scare me.
Is it how the sprite looked? I remember Castlevania 1 used to kind of creep me out. Like,
it's when I first played him that he felt like struggle to defeat. And it's like in my mind, it's always like, oh, he might actually beat me.
I don't know what it was, because when I first played it, I couldn't really get past him, like, most of the time. It wasn't until, like, I played it in, like, college, it's like, I got much better, and I actually got pretty far. Let's see.
Well, I played it back in 2001, you know, when I had my NES hooked up, you know, and I could make it all the way to Super Macho Man easy. I remember my most heartbreaking fight was when I had Super Macho Man knocked down twice, and right when I was about to knock him down a third time, time ran out. And I haven't come close to beating him since then. And I'm playing it right now, and they are just kicking the shit out of me, though. I hooked up the classic controller to the Wiimote, and it became a lot easier.
You used to that now?
Do what now?
That kind of happened to me a lot of times, like, even with NES games. Like, I'd be so used to using the classic controller, I'd be using that for NES games.
I feel like the Wiimote kind of sticks on me at times when I'm using it. So it becomes like I'm kind of thinking the classic controller because controls are looser. Okay, I guess we'll probably come back next week. I don't have any guests lined up. I'm hoping I can get a guest before the premium account runs out on Wednesday because it's like it really is worth the money. If you're using Blog Talk and you can afford the premium service, it's worth the money. So I guess what we'll do is we'll just go out with this.
Next week on the Blue Rupee.
Merciful Martini! I've been knocked up by my arch nemesis, Corporal Chloroform! Must reach GHB packet and slip it into his beverage!
Well, I tell you, Neil, I think that's going to be a come-from-behind victory for the Rupee.
You son of a bitch.
Good night, everybody!